He rises from the armchair, closing the distance to me, taking my hand and twirling me around once. I'm buying it for you. No, you won't. I can afford it. It's not a question of affording it. You wouldn't need to buy it if it wasn't required for the party. His voice is low but determined. But if I want to buy my girlfriend a Halloween costume, I damn well will. Warmth travels through me at his words, and I instinctively squeeze his hand. He frowns slightly, looking down at our interlinked hands, then back up. What?
You called me your girlfriend. I have no idea why I'm whispering. He searches my expression.
Not a problem?
I shake my head, hoping he didn't get the wrong idea. No, I just... It sounds so lovely. I almost can't believe it.
Drawing circles with his thumb on the back of my hand, he says, Let me get something straight and out of the way. I would have never pursued you again if I didn't want this to be serious.
His expression clouds, and I gulp, wanting to kick myself. How on earth did I manage to get him so worried?
Biting the inside of my cheek, I debate if I should bring up the fact that I can't have kids now.
Isn't it too soon? We've only been back together for a week.
Yeah, but this has been 10 years in the making, a tiny voice says at the back of my mind. Telling men about this hasn't worked out so well for me in the past. The first relationship I had after the surgery crumbled the second I told him. He accused me of waiting too long, 2 months, to tell him, of being dishonest. Learning from my mistakes, I brought the issue up on the third date with the next guy. It didn't go down well.
We haven't even fucked, and you're thinking about marriage and kids? I'm out of here.
I took a long break from dating afterward, a break which lasted until Daniel, and here's the thing. I know he wouldn't react like the jackasses before, but this still won't be an easy conversation, and 1 week into a relationship really is too early to bring this up.
I want this to be serious too, Dan, I say softly.
That's always my problem, isn't it? I jump all in until I'm over my head. Then jump all in, love. I'm here to catch you.
His lips curl up in a smile, his voice soft but determined. His beautiful words travel straight to my heart. I'm swooning a bit, I inform him.
Both his hands are cupping my face. He touches the tip of my nose with his. If it's just a bit, I'm not doing my job right.
He drags the tip of his nose up and down my temple.
Must up my game.
He seals his mouth over mine in a kiss that's as hot as it is sweet. His hand travels down my neck, arms, and then he lifts his fingers over my ribcage, his thumbs flicking once over my nipples. Once is all it takes to turn them into hard nubs and to drench my panties. Damn, this man and the spell he has on me. Yeah, I'm going to stick to blaming him for the way my body acts. Sounds like a great plan.
Trailing his mouth to my ear, he says on a growl, Give me your panties.
Why?
You teased me enough in the changing room. Now I'm going to tease you. Take off your panties and give them to me.
When will you give them back? I ask shyly. Thank heavens Violet is busy with the customer in the front.
When I want to.
Cue lady parts tingling. Every single one of them.
The twinkle in his eyes intensifies. Still haven't given me your panties.
I back away into the changing room, then slip my hands under the long skirt of the dress and pull the thong down, all under Daniel's intense scrutiny. He holds out his hand, his fingers touching mine as he takes the thong. The contact zings through me.
Change back, and then we'll grab something to eat.
Daniel. Why aren't you answering? Caroline asks as I mute my cell phone for the fifth time since we ordered. Because this guy always keeps me on the phone for at least half an hour. He'll get the drift eventually. We're at a Spanish restaurant, and I intend to enjoy every single moment with her. The rest can wait. Is it work stuff? She sits up straighter, a strand of hair falling across her cheek. She brushes it away, training her eyes on me. How did the events you told me about on Sunday go? Like I expected, no photos leaked, so I'm gonna need to bait whoever's doing it. Meaning? I'm going to talk to them, tell them a story, some cock and bull about how the company is in trouble. She takes a sip of her Chardonnay and frowns. I don't get it. Why would tabloids be interested in something like this? They won't, but local business magazines are going to be very interested, and they pay well for exclusive stories. I'm friends with most of them, so I expect them to call me to confirm the story before they publish it. And then you'd know who leaked it. Wow, my head is spinning. Can I help in any way? You're sweet, but I'd never drag you into something like this. I'll sort it out. It sucks you have to do this at all. Yeah. I'm going to cancel all celebrity events until I figure out who's behind this. Wow. I can't risk any more leaks. It's not just about my reputation, but these people trust me with their privacy. If I can't guarantee it, I'm not going to lie about it. But won't this affect your income? Yeah, it will. On a grin, I add, why? Will you ditch me if I'm poor? She returns my grin. Aw, I'll gladly take you in if you need a place to live, purely out of the goodness of my heart, not because you make tasty sandwiches, or because you give me great orgasms. Very magnanimous of you. Before I get the chance to say anything more, the host of a famous talk show approaches us. She's a regular client of mine. I stand, shaking her hand, focusing on her white hair because every time I look at her long, red, claw-like nails, I almost gag. Daniel, how great to see you. We need to catch up soon. Anytime, Cecilia. May I introduce you to my girlfriend, Caroline? Cecilia flashes her a bright smile. You look familiar. Where have I seen you before? An actress, perhaps? Caroline shakes her head good-naturedly. No chance. I'm a teacher, but maybe I have a famous doppelganger? Cecilia's smile falters at the word teacher. She recovers quickly, but I don't miss the moment, and neither does Caroline. Her shoulders slump a little, even as she juts her chin forward with pride. Well, how nice. That just pisses me off. It is, isn't it? One of the noblest professions, if you ask me. Educating young minds. Yes, yes, of course. Well, it was nice seeing you. I wish you both a pleasant evening. Cecilia smiles indulgently before walking away. I'm sorry. I tell Caroline as we both sit again. Nothing I haven't seen before. She waves her hand as if saying, forget it, but I know better. This is a sore spot for her. I liked her mother, but she often, and openly, criticized Caroline's choice of profession, insisting she should have chosen something that paid better. What you told her was very sweet, but you don't have to defend me. Yeah, I do, and I will. I meant what I said to her. I place my hand palm up on the table, and she gives me hers. I don't fit in with your people. Those are not my people. They're just customers. You are my people. You and my family. I don't care about anyone else. Caroline sighs, shaking her head. Okay, I have to ask, did you take any courses on how to make a woman swoon or something? I don't remember you being quite so charming last time around. I give her my most cheeky smile. Can't give away all my secrets now, can I? Logan might have given me a piece of advice, or 10, and I don't need to take notes to remember it all. Well, whatever you did, it's working. The waiter appears at our table, interrupting the moment as he sets the plates in front of us. I don't realize how hungry I am until I take the first mouthful of paella. Caroline eats with small bites, a contemplative expression on her face. What's on your mind? Our lives seem to belong in different spheres. Don't get me wrong, I love my life, but it's simple compared to yours. After me, you dated models and stars, and I couldn't help wondering that maybe you broke things off because I wasn't enough. No, I was young and stupid, and it had nothing to do with you. I wasn't ready for that kind of commitment. I admit I also wanted to experiment more, but the thought of being in it for the long haul scared me. I struggle for words, wanting to make this perfectly clear. Dan, it's okay. We were 21. I get it. No one's ready for forever at that age.
Except our parents. She grins.
True.
So you kept a close eye on me, huh? Nodding, she lowers her eyes to the plate, pushing around the food with her fork.
Go ahead. Laugh.
I'm not laughing. I did the same.
How?
My life wasn't under public scrutiny like yours. She frowns, but then her expression blooms into a full smile as she puts two and two together.
Your sisters.
Exactly. Alice stayed out of it, but Pippa and Summer were relentless. Every time they told me you were dating, I wanted to punch something. Then I felt guilty because I wanted you to be happy. But the thought of you being happy with someone else...
Narrowing her eyes, she points her fork at me. You've been sending me negative vibes all these years?
I wouldn't call it that.
You're right. Pining is the word.
You're enjoying this immensely, aren't you?
I've been pining for you this entire time. It's nice to know I wasn't the only one.
She presses her lips together, as if she fears she said too much. She didn't used to have a filter with me or feel the need to be careful, but right now she's peeking at me from behind her guard, not quite ready to lower it. I'm not there yet either, but I want to meet her halfway on this one. You weren't the only one, not by a long shot. She smiles that ridiculously beautiful smile, and fuck if I don't want to get her out of here, take her home, show her all the ways in which I missed her. But she needs to eat first. Why aren't you eating? She sighs, eyeing my plate.
Can I take a bite of your paella?
Sure. She takes a spoonful from my plate, chewing slowly, nodding in satisfaction.
Yours is tastier. I should have ordered the one with chicken, too.
Want to trade? She tilts her head, considering this.
No. Stealing from your plate is more fun.
That's my line.
Stole it, too.
I laugh, moving the plate out of her reach. What you gonna do now, Ms. Tease? Caroline looks between the plate and me as she taps her fingers on the table. I'm so busy anticipating her next move over the table that I pay no attention to her shenanigans under the table. Right until I feel her bare foot move suggestively up and down my calf. Fuck me.
If I were you, I'd put the plate right back where it was, she says sweetly.
I push the plate even farther away, leaning slightly over the table. If I were you, I'd stop being a naughty girl. You don't want to turn me on or I'll forget we're in public. You're not wearing any panties, remember? Swallowing hard, she lowers her foot, red splotches appearing on her cheeks. I love seeing you blush.
You don't say.
Let's go to my house after dinner. Spend the night there. I've been sleeping at her apartment since Sunday, but I want her in my house, in my bed. I want her smell on my sheets, her hair on my pillow.
You're awfully confident about getting me in bed tonight, she teases.
Leaning back, I drum my fingers on the table. Oh, I like my chances. Besides, you'll love my apartment. Lots of windows. It's in Nob Hill with a direct view over Huntington Park.
Can you see our faux Notre Dame?
She asks, referring to the Grace Cathedral, which is an exact replica of Notre Dame de Paris. Yep. I also have a jacuzzi.
Sold. Wow, your apartment is beautiful, Dan. And the view, my goodness.
She does a full turn, scanning the details of the living room. I don't have much in terms of furniture, just a large white couch, a coffee table, and a recliner in which Alice loves to sit when she visits. But I love my home simple, and I love having Caroline here, in the midst of it all. I can barely keep my hands off her, my self-control dangling from a thin thread. Stepping right behind her, I push her hair to one side, kissing the back of her neck. I want to taste you, Caroline. I want to make love to you in every room in this apartment.
Then get me naked.
Her voice is low, full of lust. I love bringing out this side of her. I make quick work of removing her clothes, and when she's completely naked, I make a confession. You're the only woman I've brought here, except for my family. I need her to know that. Unlike last time, now I understand exactly how special this is between us. Even the doorman was surprised when he saw us come in. "Oh, Dan," she peppers my chest with kisses, whispering against my skin. "You're not going to regret it. I'll make you happy." She kisses up my neck, moves to my ear. "You'll see. So happy." One hand around her waist, I hoist her closer to me, tip her chin up with my other hand. The emotion in her eyes brings me to my knees. I want to be worthy of this look my entire life. Gently I press my mouth against hers. She opens her lips, inviting me in, and I slip my tongue inside. Taking her in my arms, I carry her to my bedroom, laying her on the bed. She keeps her hands at the side of her head, her hair splayed around the pillow. She looks so perfect in my bed. She belongs here, and I'll be damned if I ever let her leave it. Her round, full breasts beckon to me, her nipples peeking. I drop my clothes near the bed, taking her panties out of my pocket, then lie next to her. Bracing myself on one forearm, I run my thumb in the valley between her breasts, around one nipple, and then the other, until they're both hard. "Put these on," I instruct, laying the thong on her belly.
"Now you want me to have panties on?"
"Yes, put them on." She raises a brow but does what I say, shimmying back in them, looking at me as if asking, "Now what?" Her chest moves up and down with every breath, the rhythm intensifying as I trace the path of my fingers with my mouth, tasting all that sweetness of hers. I lower my mouth to her navel, then farther on her pubic bone, stopping just above her clit, pressing a chaste kiss there over the fabric. Pulling back, I run my thumb right over her center, watching the fabric dampen with her arousal, her eyes widening. I blow a breath straight over the darkened patch, and she fists the bedsheet, exhaling sharply.
"Dan, what are you doing?"
"Driving you crazy." I'm so hard I can barely hold back, but I want to give her pleasure more than I need to chase my own. Gathering the fabric covering her pussy between my fingers, I rub the lace gently over her clit.
"Oh, oh, this is so good."
The lace is a little rough, so I follow every rub with a lash of my tongue, a succession of soft and coarse. She fists the sheets tighter and tighter, but I know it won't be enough soon. She'll need to touch herself. When she finally lets go of the sheet, touching her breasts, playing with her own nipples, I nearly come from the sight. Caroline on her back, spread open on my bed, all wild and uninhibited. I love seeing her like this. I stop when she's close to climaxing, pulling her panties down, then lick along her crack.
"Dan, oh, 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 can you do that again, please?"
I lick again and again, feeling her glutes contract in my hands, her cries becoming louder, her arousal dripping on her inner thighs. When I can't stand not being inside her anymore, I straighten up, balancing on my knees between her open thighs. She lifts her legs, touching my arms with her feet before resting them on my shoulders. I cuff her ankles between my thumb and forefinger, moving her feet until her soles are planted on my chest. "You'll have better leverage like this," I explain. She swallows.
"Are you sure it's okay for you?"
"Don't worry, baby, I'm strong. Give me your hands." I reach out and she meets me halfway. With her hands in mine, I slide inside her, just the tip, rubbing back and forth until she gasps my name.
"Dan, please, I want you inside me all the way."
"Not yet." I move lower on my knees, changing the angle, but still only giving her the tip. She whimpers, lifting her hips, trying to slide herself onto me, but I pull back.
"Please."
I love hearing you say please.
"Dan."
"I'm not giving everything to you. Not yet." My words send a rush of wetness through her, and her pussy clamps around me, coating me in her arousal. This is torture for me too, but nothing like it is for her. She writhes, thrashing her head around the pillow. But I need to get her soaked and ready, and she's so responsive it damn near kills me. She tries to smuggle her hands out of my grip, but I don't let her go.
"No. I need to touch myself."
"You're not allowed to. You'll only receive the pleasure I want to give you. And love, I'll give you so much pleasure, I'm not sure you'll be able to take it. She exhales sharply but stops trying to wriggle her hands free. Leverage and control are two reasons I want to hold her here. The third one is that I need the touch. I want to touch her as much as possible, to feel close to her. When the quiver in her body intensifies, I change the angle again, sliding in deeper, inch by inch, stopping when I reach her G-spot. Her eyes open wide, looking at me wildly, her mouth forming an O.
Oh, oh, Dan.
I slide inside her, staying still when I'm all the way in. When I pull back, then slide back in, her hands tense in mine. I grip them tighter, rubbing my thumbs along her knuckles. You're so beautiful. I need it slow tonight, and I need to look her in the eyes the entire time I'm inside her. She doesn't urge me to go faster, doesn't push herself against me, and she doesn't look away from me. We've always been in sync, but tonight it's like we're reading each other's thoughts, anticipating the other's needs. Her breasts move up and down on every thrust. Christ, she's a sight. Sweet, sexy, sinful. Nothing is more perfect than getting lost in this woman. I need to touch more of her, so I let go of one hand, holding the other firmly. I run my palm over her hip, up her waist, then I bend forward on my knees, changing the angle yet again, and she pinches her eyes shut tightly. I still. Open your eyes, Caroline.
Just a second.
Her voice is shaky, her breath uneven. Fuck, I love that I can do this to her. Knock the breath out of her, make her shake with pleasure. When she flutters her eyelids open, I thrust again, moving my free hand up to her breasts, pinching one nipple and then the other. Her inner muscles clench so tight around me that my eyes nearly roll in my head. When she squeezes me tighter and tighter, I press my palm flat on her pubic bone, driving into her G-spot again.
Dan?
Her hips shudder, but I stop their upward swing by pressing my palm harder. She is falling apart beautifully.
I can't. Oh, God, this. I can't. Too much.
Yes, you can. You'll take all the pleasure I'm giving you. All of it. She grips the headboard with her free hand, holding onto me tightly with the other one. Do you trust me? I ask.
Yes.
Say the words.
I trust you, Dan. I trust you.
Between her words and her shaky thighs, I nearly explode. My balls tighten, a zing rushing straight to my tip. I drive into her faster, my palm pressing her down as I hit her G-spot again and again. When her back arches up, I rub my thumb over her clit, and she's done for. She goes right over the edge, taking me with her. She spasms around me so hard, she nearly pushes me out. Dropping on top of her, my body still convulsing, I stay inside her, cradling her to me, feeling closer to her than ever, but wanting, needing, to be even closer.
This was incredible, she murmurs on a sigh.
Just foreplay. We're not nearly done for tonight. Her inner muscles clench around me, making me smile. She's as greedy for me as I am for her. That jacuzzi is waiting for us. Chapter 19. Daniel. This just isn't for me, Honor says next Wednesday afternoon as we struggle to regain our breaths. We've been testing indoor climbing at a hall near the office, since it's at the top of the list of activities our customers requested. Chelsea's tested it here herself, recommended us to do the same.
What's the point of all this climbing if you don't at least have some gorgeous scenery to enjoy at the end, or some fresh air?
I agree. Borderline claustrophobic.
And it stinks.
Yeah, but the customer is king. She stretches one arm, then the next, looking around at the patrons.
And this place is chock full. Talked to the instructor earlier, said they're fully booked almost constantly. No denying it's popular.
Let's have a drink at their juice bar before we leave.
If the boss buys, I won't say no.
We walk side by side, navigating through the climbers and the instructors still on the ground.
So what's the plan for the gym? Are you already scouting locations?
Perfect moment to throw her the bone, as casually as possible. As soon as the bank clears us on more loans, I'll get on it.
We're in trouble with the bank? Liquidity issues. They're not happy with our cash ratio, but we're still negotiating.
She stiffens, casts her eyes to her hands.
Does anyone else on the team know?
I told Marcel and Justin, Colbert too, but don't discuss it with anyone else.
No, of course not. Wow.
I try to read her body language, arms folded over her chest, drumming her fingers over her bicep. I hired Honor 1 year after Justin, about the same time as Marcel. I pay her a generous salary, an even more generous bonus. She has no reason to be tempted by the press.
I guess it was a little premature to brag about being one of the most successful companies in the Bay, huh?
Her mention of that article rubs me the wrong way on too many levels, but I do my best to school my expression. We have a quick drink at the juice bar, and then we part ways. She's meeting a group of clients. I'm heading back to the office to sign some papers. I'm halfway there when my phone rings, Pippa's name appearing on the screen. Hey, sister. A chorus of very loud and very exuberant, Uncle Daniel, it's us, assaults my eardrums. Despite everything, I grin. Hi, Mia. Hi, Elena. What's up, girls?
Are you coming to the Halloween party?
Mia asks. Despite them being identical twins, their voices differ subtly. Yes, I am. I'll be the pirate.
A pirate isn't scary,
Elena says, clearly not impressed by my choice.
Shh, don't be rude, Mia admonishes. We need to ask him first, and he has to say yes.
What do you need to ask me?
Mom said we're not allowed,
Elena clarifies. These girls crack me up every time. They've learned how the world works already. Whenever their parents say no, they turn their charm onto their aunts and uncles. Blake and I are the suckers they can always count on for their shenanigans.
We need a carriage, Mia goes on.
I almost do a double take in the middle of the street. This escalated quickly. No wonder Pippa said no. A carriage? With horses?
Yes, too, and we also...
A static sound follows and a yelp. Sorry, Pippa says, sounding out of breath. They hijacked my phone, and I had to chase around the house to find them. You didn't say yes, did you? To a horse-drawn carriage? I was too stunned to answer. Arriving in front of my office building, I step inside, nodding at the receptionist before heading toward my office. Pippa chuckles.
They sure take Halloween seriously. By the way, I heard you're bringing Caroline.
How exactly did you hear? I ask, once I'm inside my office.
Called Caroline to invite her, thinking you two needed another nudge, and imagine my surprise when she told me you already invited her.
Let me guess. You already know everything.
No, I'm going to need a girl's night out and some alcohol to lure out details. Of course, you could spare me the trouble and just tell me.
Where would the fun be in that? I pace up and down the room, taking immense delight in teasing my sister.
True, plus men don't understand the meaning of details. But, Daniel, don't let a good thing go a second time, okay?
I don't plan to, I assure her.
Good. We all work hard and we're ambitious, but there's nothing like going home to people you love at the end of the day.
Pippa, are you okay? I ask in alarm. My sister does love her heart-to-heart talks, but she sounds off.
Long day at the office. Half the things didn't go my way.
Ah, I can sympathize.
And now these two have started bombarding me with their carriage idea. Please promise me I won't find two horses and a carriage on Saturday at Mom and Dad's house.
I promise. That's a hard line, even for me.
Well, it's good to know you have one. I'll keep my phone close. I bet they'll try cornering Blake next.
I laugh. I'm sure they will.
I need to go back to watching the little devils. Enjoy your evening, brother.
My mood is considerably better after I click off. Logan once said something similar, that no matter the shit show going on at work, knowing he'd go home to Nadine and their son put everything into perspective. I grunted and nodded, not really getting it, but now I understand the sentiment. As I finish signing the stack of papers on my desk, my phone chimes again. Caroline. I heard back from the preschool closest to the bookstore. They scheduled their first reading next month. Woohoo. And I had an early dinner with Dad, made him fried chicken. Thought I'd save him and myself from his cooking today. There's plenty left over. I can bring you some by if you want.
I can make donuts, too.
Instead of messaging back, I call her. I need to hear her voice. She answers right away.
I knew mentioning donuts would earn me a phone call.
You had me at fried chicken already. How come you're not trying to rope me into coming to your place?
Well, I might have bought a bath bomb I'm dying to try in your jacuzzi.
The thought of Caroline naked in my arms while we're surrounded by bubbles is enough to sell me on anything.
What smell?
Cherries? I groan. Don't they have any masculine scents?
You're such a man. This is their newest stuff?
Here's a compromise. You'll try it out, I'll eat the chicken, the donuts, and then I'll have you for dessert. Out of the jacuzzi.
Can we sneak in a glass of wine on the terrace, too, in between?
Watch it, or I'll think you only want me for the terrace and jacuzzi.
Don't be silly. I want your mad, schmexy skills, too. I fully expect my mind to be blown tonight.
I promise I'll up my game. I love exceeding your expectations.
Chapter 20. Caroline. On Halloween morning, I decide to kick off the day with an early run and manage to rope Daniel into joining me.
Whoa, I didn't know your physical condition is this good,
Daniel complains. We're both sweating and panting when we enter his apartment, but this was a fantastic run. I love the boost of energy after a thorough cardio training. I finish stretching in his living room, but Daniel grabs his smartphone, leaning against the bar counter separating the living room from the kitchen area, slipping into what I like to call his business mode. Despite it being Saturday, he'll be caught up in a meeting the entire day, and we'll meet directly at his parents' house this afternoon. His expression turns grim the longer he looks at the screen. Nope. You're not allowed to frown this early in the morning. What can possibly have gone wrong already? He scowls.
Remember I said I'm putting all celebrity events on hold? Well, it's proving to be more difficult than I anticipated. Managed to either cancel or pass on to other companies, but Beatrix won't let me off the hook. She doesn't want someone else handling her bachelorette party. It's in 2 weekends. In L.A.
Sitting on the floor, I pause in the act of stretching one calf, feeling suddenly cold. Beatrix Mercier. Your ex. Ouch. Beatrix used to be one of the lead models in the Bennett show, and she and Daniel had an on-again, off-again relationship for some time, at least if the tabloids are to be believed. Daniel unhitches himself from the counter, joins me on the floor.
I wouldn't call her that.
I cock a brow. What would you call her?
A friend? We had a one-night stand when we first met, but afterward we were just friends.
Really? He rubs little circles on the back of my right hand, kissing my shoulder.
Really? The rest of it was the media making things up.
Probably because the two of you looked incredibly good together in pictures. Fiddling with my thumbs in my lap, I fight the jealousy bug with all my might, but there's no escaping it. Beatrix is the type of beauty that can't be achieved through healthy eating or exercising alone. She has a genetic predisposition to perfection, and she's engaged to one of the hottest A-list actors.
So, how will you handle this? Depends on you.
My stomach jolts. What do you mean?
I can tell her to bugger off, which is going to cost me some future business, or I can go forward with the whole thing, but I'd be handling it myself because I don't trust my team at this point.
Don't cancel on my behalf, I say, still fiddling with thumbs. I don't want to cost you your business. Daniel cups the side of my face, tilting my head up until I'm looking at him.
We're building something here. I won't jeopardize what we have for a deal. If you aren't comfortable with this, say the word and I'll cancel.
Oh, this sweet man. My chest rises and falls quickly as I shift on the floor until I'm almost straddling him. Don't cancel, Dan. Anyway, she's getting married, so I assume she's not going to spend her bachelorette party tempting you.
Exactly. But Caroline, even if she would, I wouldn't be tempted.
He points with his finger between us.
This here is all I want. Us.
See? No reason to cancel. He laughs, pulling both of us to our feet, which is when I realize I'm a hot mess. My hair and my clothes cling to me, and there are rings of perspiration under my arms. Yikes. I need to hop in the shower right away. Daniel, on the other hand, isn't a hot mess. He's just hot. His clothes cling to him, highlighting the strength of his biceps, the defined lines of his abs. I can even make out the V-shaped lines under the fabric of his shirt. It's almost as if he's naked. The operative word being almost. Ah, what I wouldn't give for a peek at his sweaty skin. I drink him in as discreetly as possible.
You're insatiable, aren't you?
Whoops, I guess I wasn't that discreet after all. I could try to dispute the accusation, but why deny? I can't help it. Not when I know what's under your clothes. Makes me want to take them off, jump your bones. It's been a while.
We made love before our run.
I laugh at how indignant he sounds, almost offended. His hands are in the air, his jaw slack.
Yeah, but see, I was half asleep when you climbed over me, I explain, stifling yet another laugh because his expression becomes more incredulous by the second.
Now, I am in no way complaining about wake-up sex. Best way to start a day, if you ask me. But it can't count as a full lovemaking session if half my senses are still dormant.
Daniel bursts out laughing, and hot damn, the sound is contagious.
Seconds later, I join him and laugh until my belly hurts. Then he pulls me flush against him, tipping my chin up and kissing me. He tastes a little salty from the sweat on his upper lip, but the sheer masculinity rolling off him... Holy hotness. His irises are dilated with lust when he pulls back.
Let's take a shower, I suggest.
Sure. You go first.
His eyes twinkle. The bastard. I'm hot for him, and this is how he treats me? Teasing me?
It'd be more efficient if we showered at the same time. Water conservation and all that.
He focuses his gaze on one of my cheeks, and then the other. I'm pretty sure I'm flushing tomato red. His face breaks into a grin.
That's what we're calling it? Water conservation?
Before I have a chance to reply, he scoops me up in his arms, carrying me to the bathroom. I can't help myself and pepper his face and neck with kisses.
I'm sweaty, he remarks.
You're mine, sweaty or not, and I plan to take advantage of it every chance I get. I dress at top speed after hopping out of the shower and run off to prepare some toast while Daniel shaves.
You can leave some of your stuff here, Daniel's voice resounds from the bathroom, so you don't have to carry that huge bag with you all the time.
Thanks, I call out, smiling to myself. Warmth spreads through me as I smear the toast with a thick layer of butter, the way he likes it, then put ham and thinly sliced tomatoes over it. I also find olives in the fridge. Slice two in half and add them on top. Stepping back, I assess my work of art. This isn't just a sandwich. It's a sandwich with love.
I'll empty a shelf for you. Or did you need two for all your lady stuff?
I freeze. Will he put two and two together when he realizes I don't have any lady stuff? Did he realize I haven't gotten my period since we began dating? He joins me in the kitchen by the time I finish his sandwich, looking harassed.
Fuck. I'm gonna be late, and no time to eat now. I'll take the sandwich and coffee with me.
He points to the dark blue cup filled to the brim with coffee.
You can go out whenever you're ready. The doorman will come and lock up.
Okay.
What's wrong?
Damn, how can he tell? Then again, my entire body is tense, which might have tipped him off.
Nothing, I say evasively, avoiding his gaze. Did you change your mind about Beatrix?
No, Dan, not at all.
Was the business with the shelf too much? Too soon?
I shake my head.
Something has you out of sorts. I can tell. And you weren't 10 minutes ago. His voice is harder now. He won't let it go. You used to tell me everything. He's right. I used to talk his ear off about everything. In fact, I often thought I was sharing more than he needed to know, but I wasn't able to stop myself. Daniel was my opposite, keeping any problems to himself. Eventually, I realized it's a man thing, not wanting to show the weak spots. For me, it was a relief to talk everything out, to hear his opinion, his advice. But in retrospect, I realized that at 21, I didn't have any real problems. A bad grade or the failure to secure an internship was the worst back then. It was easy to be open when you had no ghosts, nothing to be ashamed of. 10 years later, with some fair baggage under my belt, opening up doesn't come as easy. You'll be late for your meeting, I murmur. Fuck the meeting. I don't care. I care about you. Tell me. I'll tell you tonight. I turn around, intending to hand him the cup of coffee when I feel his arms around me, his chest pressed against my back. I want you to share with me what bothers you so I fix what I can, commiserate about the rest. I want you to trust me again like you used to. Oh, he says all the right things, and I feel so safe and warm in his arms that I'm tempted to persuade him to spend the entire day with me. But no matter what he says, I know this meeting is important. I won't let him show up late on my account. It isn't right. So, I turn around, rise on the tip of my toes, and press my lips to his. I do trust you. We'll talk about this tonight, I promise. Now go. Chapter 21. Caroline. Jenna and Richard Bennett's home has long been one of my favorite places to hang out. Spanning two stories with a red roof on top, you can always count on having a hell of a lot of fun within its walls. Or outside on the enormous property. In spring and summer, it's a sea of green between the grass and the tall oak trees lining the property. Now, the crowns of the trees are a mix of gold and copper, with a tinge of green here and there, though the ground remains a vibrant green. Mercifully, it's been dry today, because the property can turn into quite a muddy affair after a heavy rain. Jenna Bennett is shuffling around in the white gazebo on the right side of the house, and I head straight there. She's wearing a fairy godmother costume, complementing my Cinderella costume just right. The sight cracks me up. Jenna, your costume is fabulous. A delicious smell reaches me as I step inside the gazebo, and my mouth almost waters when I notice the giant outdoor pizza oven is on. Oh, I didn't know pizza was on the menu. Jenna smiles. Easiest way to feed so many people, and it's a hit with the kids. The first batch should be done in a few minutes, just waiting to get that crunchy crust. I'll help you get them inside. Wonderful. I was about to call for reinforcements. By the way, your dad will stop by later, too. Really? Wow. Talked to him a few days ago. Wasn't sure I was going to convince him. Jenna, when was the last time you failed to convince someone? She gives me a wicked smile, which resembles Pippa's very much. He's been lonely since Mom passed away. I go to dinner once a week and help him at the bookstore on weekends, but it's hard to be alone after you've shared your entire adult life with someone. Must feel like half of you is missing. He's always welcome here. I can imagine he gets lonely on Christmas and such, whereas here it's a full house, I finish for her. Sometimes I think madhouse is a better word, but I love every mad minute. There is a beat of silence, and then Jenna adds, I'm so happy you and Daniel found your way back to each other again. We're having a lot of fun rediscovering each other. We're taking it slow, I say quickly, hoping this will keep the conversation from spiraling into a heart-to-heart. When Daniel and I first went out together, it wasn't uncommon for Jenna and me to talk about our future as if it was a given. This time, I'm determined to live our love one day at a time. As you should, Jenna says.
Even though you have history, it's important to take the time to discover the people you are now. Build a foundation. You never fall in love the same way twice, not even with the same person. That's excellent advice. Jenna is a wise woman. I've always been close to her, almost as close as to my mother. In some instances, I even shared more with her than with my own mom, because I didn't want to worry Mom. And because Jenna isn't as judgmental. When the timer of the oven buzzes, Jenna opens the door, pulling one pizza to her, inspecting it. Oh God, it smells delicious. I hope Jenna is happy with the level of crunchiness, or I might have to resort to underhanded tactics to convince her to let me have a slice right now. They're perfect, she announces, taking out the two pizzas and shoving in two more, setting the timer again. We each carry one inside. Predictably, they're gone within minutes, and everyone is still hungry. Daniel arrives when the second batch is ready. He's drop-dead sexy. I mean, he generally has an air of rebellion about him, even when he wears a suit, but with the cotton shirt, sleeves rolled to his elbows, and belt with a large skull in the center, he's downright delicious. I'm about to shower him with compliments when a distraction arrives in the form of Will, Sebastian's son, and Elena, Pippa's daughter.
Uncle Daniel, Will says there are no fairies, that I'm stupid.
Will nods and grins.
Will, you're not allowed to call your cousin or anyone else stupid. It's rude,
Daniel admonishes.
But there are no fairies,
Will says stubbornly, stomping his foot. Elena's eyes widen.
Yes, there are. Uncle Daniel told me so. Tell him, Uncle Daniel, tell him.
I mask my laughter with a fake fit of coughing. Ha. My imagination will have a field day trying to visualize how that conversation went between him and Elena. Daniel looks at me for help, but I'm quite curious how he'll find his way out of this on his own. Both Elena and Will are looking at him expectantly. Elena folds her arms over her chest in a Pippa-like fashion. Will copies her stance a few seconds later. Daniel lowers himself on his haunches until he's at their level, and then he wraps his right arm around Elena, his left one around Will. Warmth flashes through me as I watch him. Goodness, there is so much tenderness and love in the way he holds and talks to them. I've never seen this side of him, and I'm surprised at how strongly it impacts me. No matter how much I tell myself, or Jenna, that we are taking it slow, I can't help imagining our future. Belatedly, I realize I've been so lost in my thoughts that I missed Daniel's explanation, and it must have been a good one, because both Will and Elena are smiling ear to ear, already moved on to the next topic.
Uncle Daniel, can you bring me more fairy dust, please?
Elena's body language is spot on. Wide, pleading eyes, hands joined in prayer, not to mention the way she says, Uncle Daniel, with the sweetest inflection.
Sure thing.
Elena smiles, taking Will's hand, their feud clearly forgotten as they walk to her twin.
That went well,
Daniel says, with the air of someone who just avoided D-Day. Damn it. I really wanted to hear him explain about the fairies. But I can't ask him again without giving away that I've been daydreaming. Daniel touches my face, sliding his hand in my hair, and I realize my lack of teasing him probably made him suspicious. But he doesn't ask, doesn't press. Instead, we catch each other looking after Will and Elena, and I'm certain he knows exactly what I've been thinking about.
Come on. Let's go bring some extra fairy dust. Mom says she's keeping all the supplies in the storage room upstairs.
What exactly is fairy dust? I ask as Daniel takes my hand, leading me upstairs.
Glitter.
He opens the door of a small storage room, turning on the light. The tiny cubicle is chock full of supplies.
We're never going to find it,
he says on a groan, surveying the mountain of random supplies. I chuckle. Daniel on the search for glitter that he's trying to pass off as fairy dust to his nieces. Never thought I'd say this sentence. I love this side of you.
Yeah?
I nod, suddenly feeling warm all over. It's silly, but I feel as if I just confessed a deep secret. Vulnerability grips me, and I break eye contact, afraid I'll give myself away. A loud bang sounds from below, startling both of us, but we relax as the unmistakable sound of kids laughing follows. "Those little devils," he murmurs. "They raise hell whenever they're all together, but the more the merrier. The Bennett genes need to be carried on." A ball of tension settles in my chest. "Yours too. I can imagine how pretty a girl would look with your hair or your eyes. Lovely. Even though I'd have to spend half my life fending off suitors." I laugh nervously, my stomach contracting now too. The implication in his words is clear, and part of me is melting into a puddle. But the other realizes this is it. I've got to tell him I can't have kids so he can cut his losses. Back in college, he hadn't been crazy about kids. But then again, not many college-aged boys are. If the adoring way he treats his nieces and nephews wasn't a dead giveaway that he wants his own kids, his proclamation just did. He'll make a great dad. This isn't the right time. No, but there will never be a right time, and he deserves the truth. Gathering my courage, I say, "Dan, remember this morning?"
"When you promised to tell me tonight whatever was bothering you?"
"Yeah." He leans against the wall next to the open door to the supply room. I suddenly feel exposed, dressed up in a Halloween costume. Some serious clothes would have been good for this conversation, but I'm not backing out. "It wasn't the shelf talk that had me out of sorts, but you mentioning my lady stuff." I'm not looking at him, instead fixating on a box inside the room. "I don't have any supplies. I don't need them anymore. A few years ago, I got pregnant. Unexpected, but that's beside the point. Anyway, it was ectopic. Baby was growing outside the uterus in the fallopian tube. Not viable. Found out too late when it grew very large and ruptured. It caused a lot of damage, a hemorrhage, and they had to do a hysterectomy." I pause to catch my breath, still not looking at him. "So, I can't have kids. I'm sorry I didn't tell you sooner. I didn't know how or when. This is a lot to put up with, and if you want to cut your losses, I understand." It'll break my heart, but I'll understand. I'm still stubbornly looking at the box. My eyes are stinging with unshed tears. He shifts closer to me, brings one hand to my face.
"I'm sorry this happened to you. I can't imagine how hard it was."
"It was hard. Mom was with me at the hospital, but I still felt so alone and empty."
"How about the baby's father?"
"Oh, he hadn't been happy about it in the first place. As I said, accidental. We'd split up anyway, and he was relieved." That phone call had been a low. Hearing his relief while I felt like a fundamental part of me didn't exist anymore. "Dan, say something," I whisper, chancing a glance at him. The set of his jaw is firm, his eyes hard.
"I've never regretted letting you go more than now."
I cringe, biting the inside of my cheek. "Wouldn't have changed the outcome. The doctor said I had a rare genetic problem, so normal pregnancy wouldn't have been possible. I had faulty equipment to begin with."
"Not what I meant, but I'd never have let you go through that alone. I'd have been there, right next to you."
"Oh.
What did you mean with cutting my losses?"
"You want kids, and I can't give you any."
"There are other ways to have kids, like adoption."
The first tendrils of hope grip me, but I have to ask. I have to be sure. "What about the Bennett genes?" He smiles.
"It's a fun thing to say, but I don't need a kid to be blood related to me to love it. Do you?"
"Of course not. Dan, do you mean this? Do you really mean it?"
"I'm dead serious.
I wanted to tell you right when you called me after my birthday, but it would have sounded like I assumed too much. I'm still not assuming, by the way. Nothing about the future, just taking it one day at a time, rediscovering each other. I kiss his jaw, his earlobe, shuddering lightly. You're the best man, Daniel. The best man in the whole world. He wraps his arms around me, keeping me close to him, stroking my hair.
Caroline, stop kissing me like this.
I startle, because I wasn't kissing him in a particularly sexy or seductive way, but he has one hand in my hair, the other on my hip. Maybe he can feel the shift between us, too, the incredible closeness. Instead of heeding his request, I continue to kiss down his neck.
Stop kissing me,
he repeats, his voice rougher. I can't help it. You're the sexiest pirate I've ever seen, I joke. I need to feel close to him right now. I can't explain it, but I want to feel as much of his skin as possible. So I slide my hands under his shirt, my fingertips tracing the ridges of his abdominal muscles, pressing against the tightness. It's still not enough. He fists my hair with the hand at the back of my head. He walks me backward, then unhitches the hand from my waist, and I hear the sound of a handle being pressed down, a door opening. He backs me into one of the rooms, closes the door behind him. Then I hear the unmistakable sound of him locking the door. The room is empty, save for a vanity table and a large mirror hanging over it. Daniel's intent becomes clear when he looks at me. The lust and determination in his eyes nearly make my knees buckle. Here? I whisper. By way of answering, Daniel tilts my head up, kissing me hard and hot, walking me backward again until my ass presses against the vanity table. Daniel aligns our bodies, pressing our hips together. His erection is straining against his pants. I feel it from my pubic bone right up to my navel. Won't anyone... I begin when he breaks off the kiss.
No one will even notice we're missing. I need to be inside you. I need it, do you understand?
I do, because I need it too. He spins me around.
Hold on to the vanity table.
I don't even think of disobeying him.
I need you to be quiet, he says.
He's behind me, but looks me straight in the eyes through the mirror above the table. I nod, anticipation coursing through me.
No matter how hard you come, you have to stay quiet.
Oh my, that's a delicious promise if I ever heard one. While I grip the table, he drops the hand from my waist to my outer thigh, cinching up the fabric of my dress until he reaches my skin. I break out in goosebumps. He feathers his fingers from the side of my thigh to the back of my legs, then up, up, up to my buttock. Pushing my thong to one side, he swipes one finger in the crease between my ass cheeks. Heat rushes low in my body. He groans, burying his nose in my hair, breathing in deeply. Spreading my thighs wide with his knee, he brings his fingers right to the rim of my opening, moving them in a circular motion from one fold up to my clit, down the other fold. The first wave of pleasure spreads like wildfire through me. I clench the muscles in my ass to steady myself. My fingers spasm. Daniel slips two fingers at once inside me, and my vision clouds. I grip the table so tightly that my knuckles turn white. He moves his fingers in and out of me in a maddening rhythm until I'm so turned on I can barely see straight. He pushes my dress up my waist. A second later, the rip of a zipper being lowered reaches my ears. Another second later, he buries himself against me so deep that his pubic bone is pressing against my ass. He stills for a few seconds, wrapping both arms around my middle in a tender hug, staring me straight in the eyes in the mirror.
I want everything to go right between us this time,
he says in a low, careful voice.
I don't want us to go too fast, but I've waited for so long...
That nothing feels fast enough, I finish for him. He nods, tightening the hold of his arms, starting to slide in and out of me.
Yes, exactly.
I rest my head back on his shoulder. Keeping me close to him like this, he whispers sweet and dirty nothings in my ear. Tension builds inside me, making my inner muscles clench. Daniel digs his nails in my waist, lowering one hand until he reaches my clit. My thighs quiver, and I bite down on my lip to keep from making any noise.